بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all our listeners from Radio Islam International as well as from Sirius FM 105.7. What a beautiful morning, subhanAllah. Much needed beneficial rain here in Indonesia. And you know, we are so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accepting all our du'as and bringing this much needed rain, as I said. Today I'm very excited to be talking about something that is often neglected by ourselves as educated and as parents, because we feel children are too young to know this right now. But according to my guest, who we will get online later, he believes that children are never too young to learn about being money wise. So our topic for today is the importance of vacation jobs for teenagers and tips for saving. So my message to our youth and to our parents that are listening, right? We all understand that, you know, the holidays are coming near, and, you know, we all want to spoil ourselves. We have lots of time, free time being at home. You want to go out with your friends. You want to maybe go and eat out. You want to go on a holiday maybe. But often we tend to spend a lot more than what we actually have during the holidays. Right? And we need to emphasize the importance of living within your means. Because how often do you hear your parents say, when it comes to the end of December, early January, I don't have any money. I think we overspend. We got so many things to do. We have school uniforms to buy. We have madrasa fees to pay. We need stationery or whatever else that, you know, the expenses just crop up when it comes to the month of January. So our show today is aimed at educating and empowering parents as well as the youth on how to be money-wise, clever ways of saving and, you know, living within your means. My message, however, is to our youth, always remember that you don't always have to have what your friends have. Very often, you know, your friend may have a fancy gadget, a new cell phone perhaps, or the latest tablet or iPad, and you feel like, you know, if I want to be friends with this person, or if I want to be part of this clique, I need to have that as well. Why would an object or having something like that make you feel important or valuable? If people want to be your friends, then they need to love you for who you are. Just remember, the important things in life, money cannot buy. You don't need things to make you happy. Things are there for us to use and for us to use in the right way. Things do not make you happy. Remember, the best things in life are free. The other thing is, be content with what your parents can afford to give you. You do not know the circumstances under which your parents are striving to ensure that you and your siblings have the best. You don't know how hard it is for your father or your mother to do what they do to give you what you have. And remember also that what we take for granted, there are many out there who are praying for. Lots of children are wishing that they have what you have. So always, always be grateful. Always be grateful. Never, ever, ever forget the importance of charity and sadaqah. Giving charity brings us closer to the Almighty. Allah gives us lots and lots of barakah. We learn to be content, as I said before. We realize, again, what we have. And what we take for granted, others are praying for. Also, when we give to those who are less fortunate, it reminds us of the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And that's something we often forget. We always feel, I want this, I want the latest of that, I want this branded, maybe clothing, or this gadget, or I have to have this, I have to have that, because if I don't, I'm not going to be cool. My question is, who says things make you better? Who says things add value to your life? They shouldn't be adding value to your life. And never, ever underestimate the importance and the value of making shukr. Shukr firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing you, our beloved youth, with so much. You have so much, and sometimes, again, I've repeated this from the time I've started, we take it for granted. Give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are reading your salah, thank Allah that you have the opportunity to go to school, that you have the opportunity to go to madrasa, that you have so many avenues open to you for you to grow holistically, inshallah. Because there are many children there who don't have parents. There are many children who are orphans who don't have the comforts that you have. So never, ever, ever forget to thank Allah for the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. And ask yourselves as well, look at all the things that you have. I mean, today it's raining here in Indonesia. You're probably tucked in somewhere in your bed, or maybe you're laying on a couch somewhere nice and warm with something maybe to drink or munch on. Think about the children around the world who first and foremost don't have a home, who don't have the comforts that you have. Just look around. Look around and think to yourself, you know, Allah Pak, subhanAllah, for giving me what you have given me. And then go to your parents. Give them a hug. Go up to them and say, Jazakumullahu khairun, my mum or my dad, or however you do address your parents. Go to them and thank them for everything that they do for you. Like I said, you do not know the struggles that they go through to get you what it is that you have. Also, I would like our listeners to call in on 011-854-1548. I would like our youth to call in. And I want you to please share with me why you feel teenagers need vacation jobs. Do you believe that a teenager should be having a holiday job? Do you feel that the 6 weeks of holidays, remember a lot of schools and are done with their exams. Some children are still writing exams, but the holidays are pretty long. I mean, I believe next year we're only going back towards the 11th or 12th of January. I think even it could be even later. So there's a lot of free time. And often, you know, when you say you have too much of free time, it's not always a good thing. So do you believe that you deserve pocket money? Do you feel that you should be working for your pocket money? Do you feel that vacation jobs help you build character, makes you responsible? Please call us on 011-854-1548 and share with us what are your thoughts. What type of vacation jobs you think are suitable for teenagers? And I'd really like to hear from you. We're just having a bit of difficulty getting hold of our guest, Mr. Gerald Wandiambira, but we will be connecting with him soon. So I'd like to hear from our listeners, from parents, from educators, from our youth especially. Please let me know what are your views on children and vacation jobs. Also, like as I said before, children are never too young to learn about being financially independent. From the time children are able to count, children should be made aware that money is something that we need to maybe purchase important things in the house, but it's not something that gives us the power for us to abuse it. That is very, very, very important. Also, it's very important to educate children, young children, from the time they're young. So when they grow older, they will have this knowledge that there's a very big difference between wants and needs. Often when you go shopping, and I'm sure a lot of mothers and fathers can attest to this, when you go to shopping malls, often children would go, I want this, I have to have this. If I don't have this, I will not look good. I have to have this. Why do you need to have it? So to tell us more about wants and needs, to tell us the importance of why children should have vacation jobs, and to give us saving tips that parents can use as well as teenagers should be implementing, I have the pleasure of introducing to you my guest. We are speaking to Mr. Gerald Wandiambira, who is the acting CEO of the South African Savings Institute. He's also the CEO of Sugar Creek Wealth. He's a personal finance and wealth manager. He's a motivational speaker who has addressed people internationally. He's also a TV and radio personality and an author. So this is the expert when it comes to savings. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International, Mr. Gerald Wandiambira.
Good morning, Bibi, and good morning to all your listeners.
Okay, we were a bit worried there. We thought, you know, maybe it was Black Friday, maybe you were going on a shopping spree, but I know, you save. You a saver.
Well, I've been saving for Black Friday the whole year, so that's why Black Friday is there. If you've been saving for it, you were looking forward to this day, you knew the price all along, and you know you're going to get a better deal, then definitely Black Friday was for you. But if you just went out there yesterday to join the crowd, yeah, today you might have buyer's remorse.
Yes, I'm sure, definitely. Now, as I was telling our listeners, Gerald, the importance of saving, and I remember, you know, in our last conversation, we said that children are never too young to learn about the value of money, the differences between wants and needs. Could you please elaborate on that for us?
Indeed, I think children are never too young. It's important that us as adults, whatever we do, is what they watch. So how you behave on Black Friday, how you behave as you buy things, is exactly how your children are likely to turn out. So it's important that as we do our things, we explain to children what's needed, what's not needed, and we can teach them the things they need versus the things they want. Any child can understand and make the differentiation between a toy, which is a want, and food, which is a need. Mm-hmm. And you just need to start being able to explain it to a child that, you know, if we get you this toy, mommy and daddy won't have food in the house for 3 days. Would you like that to happen? And the child said, no, let's get the food. Already the child will start to prioritize the things which are important.
Yes. And a very clever way for the child to realize that, I mean, this is a necessity and I can do without that.
No, definitely. I think children, we don't give them enough credit in terms of their learning ability. Most children can learn up to 3 to 4 languages, mm-hmm. and children learn very quickly. Mm-hmm. So even complex financial theories, they can actually be much better than adults in terms of enforcing them. Mm-hmm. You'll probably find that when you've taught your child needs at once, when you want to do something which is against your own teaching, your child will correct you and say, that's not how it's done.
Yes.
So we need to give them a little bit more credit in terms of their ability to reason and their ability to make choices and make and understand how money works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gerald, with the holidays coming up, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, there are some children that are already taking it a bit easy. You know, there's a long vacation in December. Everyone knows that we dread January because there's so many expenses, you know, going back to school, going back to madrasa, you know, lots of expenses. Do you think it's important for teenagers to have a holiday job?
Well, I think it is. I think it's important for teenagers to have a holiday job if possible,
mm-hmm.
or if not, be able to do chores around the house. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, South Africa doesn't have that culture of being able to employ teenagers,
yes.
simply because we have such a high unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you do have access to a job, yes, it's important, because it's that discussion we had the last time, Bibi, where we say children need to value earning money. They need to value what money can do for people and know that it is a tool that can work for good, mm-hmm. and also be used to benefit others.
Mm-hmm.
So if, yes, you come from a family where you have access to retail and contact, yes, get that child in there, work 8 to 5, so they feel the process of being an adult in terms of I had to earn this money. Therefore, they will start having a much better relationship with money because they will know its worth.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, we don't have those teenage jobs. Normally in America, they are the jobs which are given at the mall to the teenagers. But in South Africa, because of our high unemployment, it's difficult to get teenagers jobs because there's so many people who want those same jobs for a living.
Exactly. But when I say teenage job opportunities, I'm talking about things where they can assist family members. Like I said, a lot of teenagers have parents who have their own businesses, or there's someone maybe in your family that is doing something. There's a lot of people that are working from home. There are people that may have shops. There are people in your neighborhood that you can assist. I mean, you know, come December, lots of rain, the grass needs mowing, possible job opportunity, maybe, you know, get crafty, get creative, make beautiful little ornaments or toys out of recycled materials. That's a way of teaching children to be an entrepreneur. So although we say obviously companies may not employ teenagers, I fully understand that, but that doesn't mean a child, or let's say a teenager, cannot have the opportunity to become fairly financially independent.
No, definitely. It's about your, it's a relationship. I think it's about having that contract between your a child and a parent,
mm-hmm.
and the child understanding what's required of them.
Yes.
Most children, by the time they're teenagers, if they've been doing chores from a young age and being paid for certain chores, they'll know and have money probably saved up and be quite good at managing money.
Mm-hmm. As we spoke the last time as well, you know, often little children will come to you and say, you know, you take that little plastic thing, the little plastic card in mommy or daddy's bag, and you push it in this machine and a whole lot of money comes out. And, you know, they have this impression because so often they see their parents going to ATMs and taking that money out. But if, for example, as I said before, if someone in your family has a business and you approach them and you say, can my son or daughter assist you during the period of December for maybe a week or 2 weeks, that teenager is going to this business and they're looking and they're saying, this is hard work. This is really hard work. This is not just the money, doesn't just come. There are so many challenges involved here.
No, definitely the child will be much the better off understanding money. And yes, we all know someone who can help or step in. And even in the corporate environment, just get a child in an office environment and say, look, I know you're not paying them directly, but mm-hmm. I will step in and I'll pay them just so that they feel like they actually added some value. So we can find a way around it to just make sure young people get a bit of work experience before they actually go to university and finish university, and their first day at work should not be their first day at work. It should be something they're already familiar with.
Exactly. And even if it's like older children, maybe it's babysitting their siblings. I think we just lost channel there for a minute. Please call us on 011-854-1548. Please share with us your views. Tell us what you think. Tell us, do you feel it's important for young children to know the importance of money, to realize the difference between wants and needs? Should children be given whatever it is that they want? Should children be doing something where they are building character, where they're learning responsibility and maturity? Parents, please call us. Tell us what are your views on 011-854-1548. I'd like to hear from you. If there are children that are helping out in family businesses, or maybe you are assisting in some way in your neighborhood, maybe you are doing assisting to babysit, maybe someone that's 18 years old or 17 years old and you want to babysit the younger children in your neighborhood, or maybe assisting people in the neighborhood, maybe little tasks like maybe gardening or something simple, please call us and tell us, is this working for you? How is this working for you? We'd really like to hear from you. We're going to break for an ad shortly. I'm sure we'll get back to Gerald just now. We're also going to be talking about saving tips. Very important, remember, and I stress on this whenever we speak about communication between parents and their children. Children learn more from what we do than what we say. If you are the type of parent who goes out and you just buy spontaneously, and later come home and you realize, I should not have bought this. Or maybe I was in the mood to get this and I realize now I don't need it. Your children are watching you. And those are the habits that they are going to start emulating later. Becomes very difficult because remember, for many children, their parents are their role models. Again, they watch what we do and follow us. So again, your saving tips, how you carry your budget, how you compare prices when you go shopping, those are all activities that you may think is very grown up and children are not watching. But trust me, from an educator's point of view, they are watching and they are going to pick up your habits. So we're going to break for an ad shortly, and when we return, we're going to get back to Gerald and he's going to share with us saving tips during the holiday period, and he's going to also elaborate on why he thinks children should be involved in charitable organizations. So please stay tuned. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And you're back with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Youth Talk. This morning we're talking about the importance of getting teenagers to be money wise. Should children, or at least teenagers, be having vacation jobs? Saving tips during the holidays. I believe we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And who are we speaking to today?
My name is Munira. How are you, Bibi Aisha?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Thanks, Munira. And how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, shukr.
Ji, your comment, please, sister.
Okay, I'm loving your program today. Ji, I think kid entrepreneurship is really important, and I do identify with your statement earlier, where my kids used to come to me and think that little plastic card is what they could get money out of. You know, if you said there wasn't enough, they were like, but daddy can just go to that machine and the money will be there. And then it became important to me to, you know, to teach them how that money got there, how hard their father worked towards getting that money. And then I also, you know, acknowledge that the shortage of jobs, and also with the way our country is nowadays, you know, we as parents, we are a bit afraid to also let our kids out into this wide world where people are stealing our children, and, you know, it's not that easy to just let go and let them just go and have a job at a place, especially if they, you know, 10 or younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bit scary as parents. So, gee, I used to be part of the planning committee for the Signet Night Market,
mm-hmm.
and we initially started a kid premier market.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would do is we would offer free stalls to the kids to come through and, you know, actually just come with their ideas and sell whatever it is. And it used to be amazing to see what these kids could come up with.
Yeah.
My sons, I used to at that time sell like mocktail syrup.
Yes.
So my eldest son, he invented all these different recipes.
Yes.
And, you know, he went out, he bought his gummy sweets, and he had like Dracula's potion and
yes.
like alien gunk. And it was like, you know, a bestseller.
Yes.
And then we had like girls that were selling fish tanks with fish in it.
Yes.
We had the ones coming with the gourmet popcorn, and they would make their own strawberry dipped chocolates.
Mm.
And
so a lot of creative ideas.
Yes, and that's the amazing thing is, you know, when you leave it in their hands and you tell them this is the idea and this is what you should do with it, I think that's more important
yes.
than actually just putting them in a job and, you know, it's a 9-to-5. Because
yeah.
I feel yeah. entrepreneurship should be taught to kids from a young age.
Yeah.
They should be given the thoughts and the ability to see that, you know what I make with my hands
mm-hmm.
can earn me a living. It's not just about I'm going out there and I'm going to seek a job, and if I
yes.
get turned down, there's no other option.
Definitely. Gerald, would you like to comment on that? Because it's brilliant ideas. Gerald? Okay, we're going to try and get Gerald again.
Yes.
I think those... Hello?
G.
Okay, I think we're just waiting to get Gerald to comment on that. I think those brilliant ideas, like you're saying, what I make with my hands can earn me a living. It's also building character, because they realize that a lot goes into making something. You need to buy certain materials to get to your end product. And then you realize that, you know, this costs me a certain amount and I still need to make a certain percentage of a profit. And it's not that easy. It also makes children realize that this money stuff is not as easy as we thought. That plastic stuff, you need to work to be able to have money to put in the bank to get one of those cards. Because that's what children think. They believe that money grows in trees and it's just going to come.
That's true. And then with my two boys, the elder one, he picked up on that very quickly. The smaller one, he was like, oh wow, look at the money. And then he would come to his brother and be like, I want to buy this bouncy ball, I want to buy this hairspray, so give me money. And then the big one would be like, no, I have to first pay mommy back, this is not our money.
No, you just know? Observing between the two,
exactly.
You could see now which one is the budding entrepreneur and the other one, inshallah, is going to get there. And as you said earlier, a very valid point, obviously, that we can't let young children actually go out and work. Obviously, I mean, no one's going to employ them. But my idea behind this was that they can shadow a family member
yes.
for maybe a week.
Yes.
We all have someone we know that has a business. And the whole purpose for doing this is that children, or especially teenagers, because as they grow older, the wants become more than the needs. We all know that.
Gee.
But once they're there, they get to see that this work environment is not as easy as we assumed it to be. They don't realize what their parents have to go through to put food on the table.
Gee. And also, Bibi Aisha, through actually giving them the entrepreneurship skills, or, you know, that go ahead, like, you know, just try it, through trying different things, they actually find where their passion lies at an early age.
Yes.
So then they start pursuing it. So like my big son, through going through all of these different things that he did, he actually found he now has a passion for trying to develop video games.
Brilliant.
So he's gotten in touch with a mentor,
yes,
who can help him,
yes,
and, you know, eventually his whole idea is to create this apps or these games,
yes,
that he can now sell to, like, the Play Store and to the App Store,
exactly,
you know, and that's,
yes,
how he's going to supplement an income.
Zakala, so much for your input, sister. Very, very good input. Very good ideas, you know, young entrepreneurs having stalls for them. Very good ideas. And inshallah, we wish you success with that. Thank you so much for your positive
comments.
For your awesome topic. Any other parents, listeners would like to call in? Any budding young entrepreneurs would like to call us on 011-854-1548? Please share with us your ideas, your thoughts about the importance of teenagers being having some idea of being financially independent. Remember, it builds character, it builds responsibility, and you realize, again, what we take for granted, many others are praying for. We just seem to be having a bit of difficulty getting Gerald back online, but he will be joining us again shortly. When it comes to savings, I remember I read up something not too long ago, and I thought this was such a clever idea, and it's something I obviously wanted to share with our listeners. Often when we children, you know, receive money as a gift, okay, and I think we have Gerald ready again. Gerald, I just need to ask you this. Remember the last time we spoke about the jars? Because that's what I was going to talk about, the three jars when it comes to saving. Could you please elaborate on that?
Okay, we said that the three jars are there to teach very young children about the principles of money.
Mm-hmm.
In the first jar, the child is supposed to have a target. So it's either a toy or something which they want. The second jar is supposed to be a jar where you say to the child, every amount they put in there, on their birthday, you double it.
Mm.
And the third one is really about giving, which is really sharing your wealth with other people. Because until you learn to give, you'll never sometimes appreciate how much you have already been blessed with.
Yeah.
So the first jar, by giving a child a target, in terms of saving for something, you've taught your child the principle of targeted saving.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, we need to understand that when we want certain things, we need to save for them. Be it Black Friday, be it a fridge, be it the TV, whatever you want, you need to have a goal and save towards it. So that first jar is going to teach your child that principle from a very young age, that when I want something, it's going to take time, I need to save.
Mm-hmm.
The second jar, where you're basically saying, look, I'm putting money in here and my parents will reward me. It's about you saying that if you leave money unattended to for a long time, it can do more in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand in Islamic faith, it's not, you don't believe in the principle of interest,
yes,
but
yes,
basically by putting money aside and using it in the future, you can actually get more value out of it. So that's what you're trying to teach in the second jar. And in the third jar, it's really about the gift of givers. It's about you realizing that you can always give to someone else. So it can either be a family member, or it can be someone in your community, or it can even be someone who is less fortunate within your family, so that you start having children who have a value system which appreciates that I have been blessed, my parents have been blessed, it is okay for us to give to other people. Because we also have a generation of young people who are growing up now who are very selfish.
Yes.
Everything is about them. They would rather just hoard things than share. They have,
yes,
games which they haven't played in years. They have things which they haven't worn. And we need to start having that in our children, because all of this is the value system which helps us to understand and to make money work for us.
Definitely. You know, Gerald, very, very important point, that the idea of giving, because obviously the more you give, you appreciate what it is that you have. So even what are your thoughts on ideas for parents that, you know, take your children to charitable organizations as well? Take them, you know, to an orphanage maybe. Take them to sort of organizations like non-profit organizations where they have feeding schemes or they have, you know, these vegetable growing projects. And let your children see how easy their life is, how blessed they've been, and to show gratitude.
I agree totally, Bibi. So just as we spoke earlier on about doing the work placement and letting the teenager learn about earning money, probably it's also important to do the same thing in placing that teenager in an environment or the child in that in an environment where they can experience people who have less than them. So it's what you're saying. Maybe help out in a charity organization. Help out with orphans. Help out in a soup kitchen so that you start realizing that there are other people who are less fortunate. And it's also important that you teach the children not to fear the people who don't have. Because you also find these days children are literally very afraid of somebody who is struggling or somebody who is less fortunate. We almost treat them like outcasts. And you need to teach your child to realize that they're also people. It's just that they haven't had the same blessing which you have had in life. But at the same token, they need to realize that they have the power to help other people and have the power also to respect and treat them as humans. Last time we spoke about it when we said when the child is there working in the shop, they must realize that employees are just as important as your parent who might be the boss in the shop, because without them, the shop doesn't do well.
Yes, yes. Definitely, definitely. And also when we, you know, want to highlight to our listeners as well that obviously children emulate what they see you doing. So, if you know, if you have a budget and you are saving and you're comparing prices before you buy something, maybe something simple in the house, you know, maybe you're comparing grocery prices, children watch you. And, you know, hopefully that's what they're going to do as they grow up. And also, you know, pocket money. We spoke about the importance of pocket money. How much pocket money is enough? That's also very important.
I think you've got it there. The most important thing for our listeners this morning on Radio Islam is that they must realize that children will copy their parents. Regardless of what you tell them, they actually do what you do. So what you tell your children must go hand in hand or be aligned with what you do. So you cannot try and treat your child to be kind and to give and to do all the right things, yet you as a parent, you are not doing those things and your child is not seeing you do those things. So we need to realize that we need to literally live the words which come out of our mouth, because with children, they will pick up exactly how you are. So if you have a problem understanding your child, you must realize that your child is actually a mirror reflection of you.
Yes.
So if you have a problem child, sometimes it's about you looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, am I really the problem? If you have a selfish child who's bullying other children, you need to look at yourself. Am I selfish? Am I bullying colleagues in the workplace? Where is this child picking up this behavior? And I think, you know, obviously there are also other cases where your child is doing it as an act of rebellion, but often children, especially the young ones, they are simply doing what you do, which is why you tend to find the young boys love the same football team as their dad.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that is what they want to be, like their dad. And the young girls want to dress and be like their mothers. And that's how children will grow up. And it goes into every area of their lives and also touches upon how they relate with finances. So if they saw you yesterday rushing and trying to be at the front of the queue on Black Friday, they will also, when their time comes, remember that memory, and they'll be waiting in front of the queue to also spend.
And also when it comes to sales generally at stores, whether it's any time of the year, whether it's for groceries or stationery or appliances or whatever it is, again, the difference between wants and needs. If the parent realizes, I don't really need this, then, you know, tell your child this. Discuss this with your child. It's very important for parents to also sit and balance that scale between wants and needs. Because like you say, that's what your child is going to be emulating. And also, Gerald, you know, I think for parents, if you, you know, constantly talk about this attitude of gratitude and contentment, and you love it and you show it. That's the environment that your children are going to grow up in. They'd be grateful for what you have. Be content with what you have, because things don't make you. These things are meant to be used, not people. These are things, the most important things in life money can't buy.
No, definitely, Bibi, as you said, it's gratitude and contentment. Those are important values where you if you instill them in your child, they won't struggle. So even if you're buying them shoes and you are in that shop and you can't quite afford the one she wants, you must sit down, explain, and show her the numbers so that she can understand that this is more expensive than that one, and I am choosing this one because at this moment, this is what I can get for you. Mm-hmm. And your child is not ever going to put you under unnecessary pressure. It's only if always you give them what they ask for, the day you don't give them what they want, then they are obviously going to have a problem. But even when they ask for something and you walk into that shop, you show this one is 400 rand, this one is 300 rand, this one is 200 rand. If I bought you one of these for 400, I could actually have bought you two of these for 200. Which one do you want? Your child starts to reason and realize the value system. And it's important. That's what a lot of the children now are simply lacking, which is a value system in terms of relating to finances and money. And we spoke, Bibi, the other time about saying, let them handle cash.
Yes.
Let them feel it. Let them see it finishes. Because until they do that, they always think that when they put that card in, the money will come out.
Yes.
So even when you know there's no money at one time, go teach them. Make them stand at an ATM. Make them type in your PIN number. Hopefully they won't remember it. and at the end of the day, let them see that nothing came out. And they say, why didn't that happen? Then you relate back to the money boxes and say, look at those jars. My jars have not been full enough to take to the bank, so there's nothing coming out.
Yeah.
So it also relates and completes that picture in terms of understanding how children relate to finances.
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, with the three jars, what you explained, which is so excellent, you know, often children would get gifts when it comes to Eid, or they would get gifts. I think we fast traveled again. I don't know if it's with the network, but I can still share this with our listeners. You know, when children save money, and why we spoke about jars, obviously a jar is transparent. So when children are getting money for maybe, you know, getting a gift maybe from daddy or nani or nana or dada, and they're getting a gift, you know, like some sort of money, or maybe it's they did very well at school and you gave them a little present, or maybe when it was Eid time and they were given some bit of money, and they saving this money in this transparent jar, and as they see the money growing, as the jar getting full, they can see that while I'm saving this money, it's growing and the money is becoming more. But now when it comes to spending that money, maybe there's something that they wanted. Maybe they always wanted a certain book, or maybe whatever it is children wanted. When they're taking this jar with them, it will be very important to sit down with your child and say, okay, this is the amount of money we saved, and this is what you're hoping to buy with it. Again, compare prices. Firstly, talk about the wants and needs. That yes, you were saving for this particular object, or maybe this particular event. Maybe they wanted to go somewhere, you know, maybe enroll themselves for a particular sport or whatever it may be. Ask them, do you really need this? Again, discuss wants and needs. And then also, from that jar that was saved, should everything in the jar be spent? Should we just, you know, spend all of it at one go? Should we put some away, continue saving it? Should we give a certain amount again to charity? Very, very, very important. Explaining to children that as much as when we save and we want to save it for a special occasion, you don't need to spend everything, because you never know when you may need it again. So those are qualities that we're hoping for our youth to grow up with. It's part of character building. It teaches them to be responsible. And also, if children are given a certain amount of pocket money, maybe every week or every month or whatever it is, when their money gets finished, then it's finished. It's completed. There's no need to give them more. They need to realize that, listen, my mom or dad or my caregiver is not the money tree. If say, give me a certain amount of money. I need to sit down and think, okay, I need it for X amount of days. This is what I'm going to spend it on. If I'm going to buy something that I don't need, I'm going to be short. Then what happens? If my money is finished and I don't have some more anymore, what am I going to do? Don't give them the extra money. Let them learn. That's the only way they're going to learn. That is the only way that they're going to grow. That is the only way that they're going to learn to be responsible. And hopefully, inshallah, we make dua that when they grow up to be adults, they'll be able to love with an attitude of gratitude, with an attitude of contentment, and also realize that the most important things, like character building, like integrity, like gratitude, like love, kindness, compassion, most importantly, faith, money can't buy. I think we've lost Gerald again, unfortunately, because I really wanted him to share with us his final bits of advice for parents and teenagers, but we will get him on our show again soon, sometime next year, inshallah. My message to our youth, you are our future generation. If we do not strive to make an effort to teach you the values that you need to grow to be the type of person that most importantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with, then we as your educators, as the parents, as your caregivers will be failing you. So inshallah, we hope that in every way we can try to be good role models for you, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you grow up to be individuals that will be grateful, that will love humbly, that will love with contentment, and please Allah and serve others for the pleasure of Allah, inshallah. We will be back with you again next week, Saturday, from myself, Bibi Aisha Leher, and my sound engineer, Hafiz Hansala Hafiji. We wish you a good week ahead. Please remember us in your du'as. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.